Support for this episode of Switched on Pop comes from Dell. Take your binge session to the next level with incredible color, sound, and streaming on the new XPS 13 laptop. The smaller, thinner XPS with the latest Intel Core processors brings the Dell Cinema experience to your couch, kitchen, or bedroom, wherever you binge. Learn more about why everyone's talking about the remastered XPS 13 laptop. Call 800-BUY-DELL. That's 800-BUY-DELL. Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm musicologist Nate Sloan, and I am so excited to welcome our special guest today. As you know, my usual co-host, Charlie Harding, is out on parental leave. He's out there taking care of Theo Otis. Good for him. And we have an amazing substitute today. It's Sam Sanders. Welcome,
hello.
Sam.
Thanks for having me.
Sam, you're the host of It's Been a Minute with Sam Sanders, the wonderful NPR podcast that covers culture and society. And you are also, if I may dare to say, a music nerd.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
In fact, the last time we talked, I learned that you studied music in college.
I did. I was a double major at the University of the Incarnate Word in political science and music composition.
Wow.
My instrument's saxophone, and I will say you will never hear those compositions.
Saxophone, are we talking alto, tenor, soprano?
I started out alto, went through all of them. I landed with tenor because that just feels the most like a, oh yeah, that's a saxophone solo.
Yeah. You know? I couldn't agree more. And we're going to call on that expertise a little later
expertise
in the show.
Expertise is a word.
Because this is a new format for us that I'm really excited about. We did it once over the summer where we have listeners call in and tell us what they're listening to. Mm-hmm. And then we get to go through this kind of Rolodex of new pop tracks. It's so much fun.
I love it.
It's like my favorite way to learn about new music. Our listeners are incredibly intelligent and I assume very attractive. So we'll hear from some of them about what they're listening to, listen to some of the tracks that they're digging on, and it should be a lot of fun. Let's dive right in. This first selection is from Amanda C.
Hi, Switched on Pop. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. My new favorite release is Really Don't Like You by Tove Lo and Kylie Minogue. Kylie is one of my favorite pop artists, and her and Tove Lo sounded like a crazy wonderful pairing. So I was in from the start. It's got a great synth beat, and the lyrics are fantastically honest, even though, as she said, they break the code. I feel like you can really hear that Tove Lo's new album was recorded in both LA and Sweden, because it really has both of those sounds to me.
Let's take a listen to Really Don't Like You by Tove Lo and Kylie Minogue.
It's like this halftime bounce situation. It's one of those songs where you can dance slow to it if you want to or dance fast to it if you want
to. That's cool. Yeah, there's two different temporal levels going on here.
It's smooth.
It's smooth. All right, so we're into this. We like the smooth kind of temporal shifts, and I think that chorus is really catchy.
Yeah.
I really don't like you. You look prettier than I do. That's a sentiment I think we can all relate to.
Yeah. Well, it is this kind of dance floor confessional that we have talked about before.
Yes.
In Robin's Dancing on My Own.
Dancing on My Own.
Like this heartfelt pouring out of your emotion on the dance floor. That kind of song will always get me.
Yeah, and you know, as the listener, Amanda C. pointed out, perhaps that's an innately Swedish kind of sentiment. Robin and Tove Lo both being from Sweden.
Kylie Minogue. She never left. I love it.
All right, fun. This is a great start. Let's move on to another listener, Melanie C., no relation, I presume. She is calling in to talk about Camila Cabello's track, Liar.
I can't stop listening to Camila Cabello's Liar. It's a super catchy song. It makes me want to dance, and I hate dancing. It has these great flamenco and Latin beats, which I'm really into, and I love listening to it when I go for a run. It's super upbeat, and it makes me want to run and keep on going.
Let's listen to Liar by Camila Cabello.
I don't care if you're here or if you're not alone. I don't care, it's been too long. It's kinda like it didn't happen. The way that your lips move, the way you whisper slow. I don't care, as good as gone.
Yeah.
We're dancing in the studio a little bit right now.
The chorus gives me a little bit of Ace of Base.
Ace of Base. All that she
Whoa,
wants.
Oh, yes!
Yeah.
All that she wants is another baby. She's gone tomorrow, boy. All that she wants is another baby. Yeah.
Camila. Okay, yeah, I ship it.
Okay, so I want to zoom in on that, like... The song starts, it sounds like this, it has this clear Latin influence. As we move into the pre-chorus, you can even hear a clave beat in the background. Dot, 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 dot. But then the chorus hits.
It's so Ace of Base.
And it's like, yeah, it's like reggae through
yes.
Swedish pop of
yeah.
the 90s.
I want to hear the chorus again because okay. it really turned me for a loop in a great way.
Oh, no, there you go. Making me a liar. Got me begging you for more. Oh, no, there I go. Starting up a fire. Oh, no, no.
Yeah. I find her so interesting.
Yeah, tell me more.
Because everything about her presentation is giving me throwbacks to that 90s Latin explosion. You know, it was Ricky Martin and J-Lo and Marc Anthony, and some of it felt cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
The way that Camila Cabello is doing it, it doesn't feel as cloying.
Mm.
You know, her last big single was Senorita
yes.
with her boyfriend Shawn Mendes.
Right.
And in spite of the title of the song,
yeah.
they didn't overdo it.
Yeah.
And, like, even her previous big hit, Havana, it was definitely Latin explosion vibes, but it wasn't corny.
I know what you mean.
It's hard to explain it because there was some of that. I mean, like, think back to Ricky Martin, his, like, first burst onto the scene.
Yes.
It was cheesy.
Yes. I'm right there, living La Vida Loca. Yeah. Yeah. No, I see that. This is, dare I might use a word that's... Perhaps a little embattled, but it feels authentic.
It somehow. Feels authentic. And like, not even to compare all Latinx artists to other
no.
Latinx artists, but there is a way that, like, the industry tries to package some of these folks. And for whatever reason, the people around Camila Cabello are
yeah.
letting her feel authentic and make these bops that work.
And, you know, on that note, if I were kind of making a intellectual stretch, which I'll go ahead and do. Perhaps the lie that this song is concerned with is about these borders when it comes
oh,
to
yeah.
music and when it comes to Caribbean Latinx identity.
Yeah. yeah.
And maybe recognizing that even the difference we're hearing between the sort of reggae chorus
uh-huh.
and the more Cuban kind of
yeah.
verse and pre-chorus
yeah.
is as much a fiction of identity and colonialism as
exactly.
it is exposing how music travels in these...
Oh, yeah.
These,
music
these
travels.
Byways.
Exactly.
Yeah, music travels.
Well, and like, if you think, I mean, like, writ large, what does it mean to be Latinx?
Mm.
It can be any number of ethnicities, any number of skin tones, any number of musical backgrounds.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I'm not going to say melting pot, but, you know, it's a great big salad of lots of ingredients.
Love it. It's a delicious salad. So we should really move on, lest
okay.
this become the Camila Cabello hour.
And, which would be fine.
And yet, I do need to call in your expertise, because if we go to the outro of this song, there's an instrument I think you'll be familiar with.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's good.
Yeah. Little solo tenor sax
yes.
moment.
I long for the return of the killer saxophone solo in
yeah.
popular music. For a while, it was everywhere.
I'm just saying, Sam, if you wanted to, like, hit the karaoke bar and bring your horn, you could do this whole song and then...
Would you play the keys?
Absolutely.
Done.
All right.
Let's, sign me up. Let's get Camilla to come sing.
All right. Head down to K-Town. Okay, moving on. Tyler, the Creator, Earthquake. This recommendation comes from listener Alec J.
Hi, Nate and Charlie. I'm just talking about how I'm really loving the album Igor by Tyler, the Creator. This is a really, really interesting album. It's a breakup album, which I think can often be super one note and then maybe only sad or only really one emotion. But I think he really just, you kind of can see him go through all of the stages of grief in the album. You see him being angry, and you see him being sad, and you see him being happy, and you see him being confused. And I think this just shows this sort of crazy amount of range, and I've really been enjoying it recently.
All right, Earthquake by Tyler, the Creator. Have you heard this one before, Sam?
I have. Can I tell you my Tyler, the Creator truth?
Yes, tell me your truth.
I don't understand that man. I don't understand him. And I've been, like, I have been a follower of his since he came on the scene many, many years ago. And, you know, when he first started out, he was known for just making songs with some of the most incendiary lyrics that you could imagine. Mm-hmm. And throughout his career, I've always had a hard time trying to figure out exactly what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
And he's one of those young rappers that just makes me feel old.
I know. I feel the same way. It's beguiling. I think he speaks to a slightly, perhaps different generation than we belong to. This is maybe, on that note, maybe one of the first tracks of his that I really can connect to. Yeah.
Why do you like it?
I think what our listener Alec wrote is like kind of the emotion he's displaying on this album. This track might be a nice evidence of that, and I can really hear it in the chorus. He's singing about an earthquake, which I guess is a metaphor for love or a breakup. And every time he does that chorus hits, there's this bass that is so intense that it creates the feeling of like
a heart.
A quake, yeah.
Oh. Or your heart quaking.
That's more poetic, Sam. I'm thinking of like a literal, I'm just thinking of driving in my car over to the studio to record this.
And feeling a shaking.
And my rear view mirror is just like.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool example of what we sometimes call text painting, where the music illustrates the meaning of the word.
Yeah.
A song about an earthquake, and it literally quakes your speakers.
Yeah. You know what it is about him?
Yeah.
His persona is that of like a jokester or a prankster, but he's also giving you these very deep emotional messages.
Yeah.
And I never know when to take him seriously.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I think that makes sense. And I wonder if that's a generational thing. There's like a language seeped in irony that
the kids get it. It's like those whistles that only young people can hear. That is Tyler, the Creator.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There are many Tyler songs that I love.
Yeah.
And I find the trajectory of Odd Future entirely fascinating.
Absolutely.
Entirely fascinating.
And the numerous artists involved with that and
so many.
The different routes they've taken.
Sid, Frank, Tyler, there's more. They're great.
Moving on now to a heavy hitter of pop.
Hey, you've got John from Atlanta, Georgia, and I'd love to tell you why I love Cruel Summer by Taylor Swift. You know, you've got Jack Antonoff, you've got St. Vincent providing these incredible 80s style synths and guitar riffs and this explosive chorus that really kind of takes you away. All you need to do is get like 40 seconds of the song. Everyone is screaming the chorus, talking about a new feeling, a new body, a blue feeling. Taylor Swift is enveloped in this love, this fiery, passionate, lust-filled, you know, experience with someone where she's worried that she may not even be able to keep this person, you know? She doesn't want to keep secrets just to keep them. She exclaims in the song, "I love you. Ain't that the worst thing you've ever heard?" You know, for me, I can just really relate to that, especially as someone in the LGBTQ+ community. I've had experiences where we're experiencing a lot together, and all of a sudden, I have this feeling in my head, "I love you." But I can't say that because I'm scared that that might be the worst thing they've ever heard, and it only creates in more impossible situation for me and this other person, just like Taylor exclaims in this song.
Let's take a listen to Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer.
And it's new, shape of your body, it's
Yeah, that's it. I am the least likely individual to give Taylor Swift praise.
Yeah.
But she did what she had to do with this album.
All right.
She did what she had to do.
Sam Sanders.
I'm going to tell you what it is.
Tell me.
For the longest time, it felt like Taylor Swift would get older.
Yeah.
But her music would not.
Mm.
And she was making these songs that felt like notes you passed around in homeroom freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
And that worked for a minute. But after a while, I was like, you're grown.
Yeah.
And this is the first album I've heard from her that feels like it is her age.
I love that.
And I also think that anytime you've got Jack Antonoff guiding your album, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
One of my favorite albums of the last decade is probably Lorde's Melodrama.
Yes, yes.
Which is a Jack Antonoff and Lorde opus.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear his influence in this album as well.
Totally.
Like, there's some songs. I mean, like, Lover.
Yeah.
That's his song.
Yeah.
That's his song that he gave to Taylor. Like, you hear it, you're like, that's Jack Antonoff. I love that man so much. And he does this. And Taylor is very good at this. And Lorde's very good at this. They never give all of themselves away to a co-writer. You can still hear the Taylor as well as the Jack, especially on a song like this, Cruel Summer. I like it.
Yeah. I love that analysis. I not only hear Antonoff's influence, I hear Lorde's too.
Yeah. Yeah.
The line our listener, John, kind of called out here, I love you. Ain't that the worst thing you ever heard?
Yeah.
That just feels like one of those melancholic,
like, I should be happy,
Lorde
but
lines.
I'm sad.
Yeah.
That's Lorde. That is Lorde, and we love it. Also, she does this thing Taylor does, and it's become kind of her trademark in the way that for years Rihanna would do the Ella, Ella, A-A-A.
Mm.
Taylor Swift does this little, like, uptick, up jump on some of these notes that she bends up like a sing-songy kind of chilly kind of way. Devils roll the dice, angels roll their eyes. What doesn't kill me makes me want to. She's very, it is this cheerleader-esque, ooh, Mickey, you're so fine, sing-songy thing that she began doing a few years ago and it grated on me, but now she's very good at doing it. And I'm like, okay, yeah.
That's interesting. So she's, like, perfected that.
She's perfected the art of
device.
Being Taylor Swift with this album. I think the album itself is probably 5 or 6 tracks too long, but the ones that hit,
no disagreement.
They hit.
Yeah.
And it is interesting because for the longest time, Taylor Swift and the presentation of Taylor Swift has got on my nerves.
Yeah.
And I don't know what
You're
happened.
Not alone there.
Yeah. Yeah. Something happened to her after the whole Kanye Kim brouhaha. She kind of, I don't know, maybe she sat in a quiet room and thought some stuff out, but something about her now feels extremely earnest and relatable in a way that it didn't feel before. So I'm not going to say I'm Taylor Stan, but Taylor, you did what you had to do.
There we go. You're inching closer to it. Thanks so much, John V, for that beautiful message. All right, from one pop heavy hitter to another, let's move from Taylor Swift to the new song from Lana Del Rey, Ariana Grande and Miley Cyrus, Don't Call Me Angel.
I won't. Trust.
And then, thanks to listener John.
Hey, this is John from Baltimore, Maryland. I just wanted to call in and say a little bit about why I'm really loving Don't Call Me Angel. So that song is just a total bop. I mean, the production, I think, is amazing. I love that, like, little bell sound in the background. I don't know. There's something really infectious about that particular part of the song, and honestly I just love the fact that it's these three women at the top of their game collaborating together, and it just feels very powerful. And it reminds me of, like, songs from the past where female artists would collaborate and make these big pop songs, like Bang Bang with Ariana Grande, Jessie J and Nicki Minaj, and then of course Lady Marmalade with Christina, Maya, Pink, Little Kim. So I think that's why I'm really feeling it.
Sam Gann is beside himself.
Can I tell you, and I don't know the listener that called in, but sorry to that man.
John from Baltimore.
John, we disagree.
Yeah.
I do not like this song. It feels like smoke and mirrors.
Mm.
You know, in the run-up to the release of this song, everyone's like, there's going to be this big banging single for the new Charlie's Angel with three of the biggest women in pop. And I'm like, oh, I'm ready for this. And then I listen, Much Ado About Nothing. It is this, it pretends like it wants to be a good pop song. Mm. The drums are coming in. They're trying to do it. You can tell that the production cost money. But nothing about this song lands. Nothing about this song sticks.
Yeah.
Does this song stick to you?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't stick for me. I mean, I'm wary of, pushing back against John from Baltimore.
John from Baltimore. Also, I'm sure that we would get along perfectly well in person. And I'm sorry, I feel bad saying this, but I don't like the song.
I'm not sure I agree with the idea that this is a sort of throwback to Bang Bang or Lady Marmalade or even the original Charlie's Angels bop, Independent
Women.
The difference here is that I don't hear these three singers really melding together in any way.
It doesn't sound like they even recorded together. Like, if you can fast forward to the Lana verse, it literally sounds like she was in a different country recording. I'm like, Lana, where are you at? The grave?
Lana, Mr. Flight.
Lana, where you at? Man.
Lana's singing through a sheet right now.
While on Quaaludes.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry to John from Baltimore. John, let me make it up to you.
Well, we have a chance. John also has some thoughts about Lana. Well, let's continue to hear from John now.
And I'm also, just to comment as well, feeling Happiness is a Butterfly, which is exclusively just Lana's song. Simply, I think, because the lyrical content of that song is so precise and so beautiful, and it really captures, in my opinion, what I think is the essence of happiness. It is a fleeting moment, and we just have to learn to cherish it and remember that it's not always going to be there, but when it does come, it's something to really hold a lot of value.
Let's listen to Happiness is a Butterfly by Lana Del Rey.
Happiness is a butterfly. Try to catch it like every night. It escapes from my hands into moonlight. Every day is a lullaby. I'm out on the phone like every night. Singing for my babies on the tour life. If he's a serial killer, then what's the word?
The specificity of Lana Del Rey's lyrics cut to the bone.
Yeah.
It cut to the bone. Some of the songs sounded like the other songs, and she likes to stay in that place.
Right.
But when she goes to
that place,
she can occupy it so well. It really is so beautiful to see her stay in the game long enough to really hit her stride. Because you'll recall, when she started out, everyone just trashed her and said, what is going on? What is she doing? And now with this album especially, you're like, oh, she knows exactly what she's doing.
This is maybe my chance to get back on John from Baltimore's good side because I maybe was similar to you. I listened to this album when it came out and it kind of, I didn't really get it. But then after John called in, I really listened to this track carefully, probably for the first time, just uninterrupted, just focus. And like you said, it really got to me. It really... The specificity of her lyrics, like you said, and the close miking, the vulnerability, because you're hearing every, like her lips almost like separating and like even maybe a little bit of like spittle in her mouth or something. It's like, whoa, it's very intimate.
Yeah.
If he's as bad as they say, then I guess I'm cursed. Looking into his eyes, I think he's already hurt. He's already hurt.
The moral of Lana Del Rey's story is that she is hurt and you're hurt too.
Mm.
And like everything that she does is tapping into this lingering, not quite melancholy, but maybe perhaps. Mm. And like she lives there in this way that lets you kind of live there with her too. And it's just relatable. And it's hard to explain, but like she made the album that was like perfect for her to make.
Yeah. Which is perhaps the exact same reason that it doesn't work on Don't Call Me Angel.
Exactly, because that's not her vibe. I will say, was this album from Lana, it was also a Jack Antonoff production?
That's right. Yes. Wow.
He's everywhere.
Yeah. The hand behind the wheel of modern pop.
You know, we tried to book him on the show a year or two ago. Yeah. Couldn't get him. But I'm really interested in what it means to be a man making pop music right now with such powerful women.
Yeah.
You know, Taylor, Lord, Lana, St. Vincent.
Yeah.
He's helped make all of their last few albums.
That's a fascinating position to be in.
Yeah.
All right. Sam, I hope you get him on your show because I really want to hear the answer to that.
Yeah. If I get him, you're going to come on with me.
All right. See you there.
Him. Yeah.
So at this point, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to turn our focus away from the top of the pop charts to some of the more fringe music that our listeners are hearing right now. Recently, over 100 million people had their personal information stolen in a major data breach. Social security numbers, contact details, credit scores, things you really don't want stolen, were taken from customers of a pretty major credit card company. This sort of attack is happening more frequently than ever, and major companies are getting hit and leaking your private information like sieves. So, how can you protect yourself? Check out expressvpn.com/onpop. ExpressVPN is an app for your computer and phone that encrypts and secures your data. ExpressVPN connects with just one click. It's lightning fast, and it costs less than $7 a month. If you care about your online privacy and safety, you shouldn't be on the web without it. We've been using ExpressVPN for the past month, and I can confirm it is so easy to use. I get overwhelmed with, you know, cyber security, but ExpressVPN makes it really easy. It's literally just like click, and then you just get to take it off your mind. It's the same way that, you know, when your credit card company calls and says, hey, we saw some fraudulent activity on your account, and you're just like, oh, wow, thank you for dealing with this. I definitely don't have the bandwidth to. That's what ExpressVPN. I've never been hacked before, and, you know, I'm just like praying that now with this ExpressVPN service that will remain the case. So protect yourself and your data. Use our special link, expressvpn.com/onpop, and arm yourself with an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show and protect yourself. That's expressvpn.com/onpop for an extra 3 months for free. This episode is sponsored by Dell. Their totally remastered XPS 13 laptop takes binge watching to the next level with vivid colors and super smooth streaming. It's also got incredible built-in speakers, so you don't have to sacrifice on sound quality the next time you watch your favorite music, movie, or documentary. So if you're checking out The Last Waltz, it's going to look crystalline. And if you go online and search for the fantastic documentary, I Was There When House Took Over the World, it's going to look crisp and clear, and the sound's going to be beautiful. So the next time you say just one more episode, make sure you're getting the Dell Cinema Experience. Ready to remaster your next binge session? Get the XPS 13 laptop with the latest Intel Core processors. Call 800-BUY-DELL. That's 800-BUY-DELL. We're back with Sam Sanders, and we're listening to your favorite tracks of the moment. Let's move right along into an artist I've been wanting to talk about for a long time. This is a track from King Princess called Prophet, and here to tell us about it is listener Steve G.
Hey, Switched on Pop. This is Steve from Oakland. I'm calling because I can't get King Princess's Prophet out of my head. It's that groovy, repetitive chorus, which sounds like a motor struggling to start up, and those lyrics in which every phrase and every thought ends in you. The song's like a meditation on obsession. No wonder it's stuck in my head.
Let's hear this meditation and obsession.
'Cause I can only think about you. What is that to walk up?
Talk about you. 'Cause I can only think about you.
is she from?
I'm not sure where King Princess is from. I know she was a student at the USC Thornton School of Music, where I teach, until she dropped out.
This whole song is really in the pocket.
This is a song that, to me, belongs to a subgenre of songs, as you say, in the pocket. They kind of, like, stop time, in a way.
Yeah.
I was listening to this, and it just sort of soundtracks your world. It's like everything starts to move in time to it. Someone biking by in perfect rhythm. Someone yelling on their phone in time to the beat. You're like, oh, yeah, this... And then it's over, and you're like, that could have been a minute or 20. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah. Now, she's affiliated with Mark Ronson, and I actually heard her on the new Mark Ronson album because she has a track on there with him. And he's really interesting to me because he does these collabo albums every few years. And he just finds new people and says, oh, you, come show yourself to the world.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, I like her already, but with Mark Ronson's like stamp of approval, I'm like, I know I'm going to love whatever she does.
Imprimatur. Yeah, this is definitely an artist on the come up. I'm glad we got to listen to a track. Thanks, Steve G, for bringing it to our attention. Moving right along, another artist. This is now, we're fulfilling some items on our wish list here, things that we've been meaning to talk about for a while. One of those artists is Kim Petras. And here to recommend her track, Hillside Boys, is our very own producer, Megan Lubin.
Hello, this is Megan, and I'm here to tell you about Kim Petras. Kim is a singer and songwriter from Germany. She makes electronic dance pop, so think Charlie XCX, think Tove Lo, those kinds of artists. I first discovered Kim earlier this summer when a friend sat me down to watch her song Hillside Boys. There's this video of her doing it live in New York, and it's just her and a single acoustic guitar for accompaniment. And I was struck by two things right away. So one is that she's a really emotive performer. When she sings, you can see it in her face and hands, and I just loved how she put her whole body into this song. I think when the vast majority of the music we listen to is recorded and streamed, it's really easy to forget that the way that an artist physically is on stage can actually pull you in as much or even more than the music. The second thing that I noticed is that in this video, she belts out the song so intensely that she has to continuously catch her breath throughout the performance. And through it all, she's just about perfectly on pitch, all while nearly shouting this song. It is so earnestly and convincingly performed. From there, I found her songs Heart to Break and I Don't Want It All, which have streamed a cumulative 47 million times on Spotify. She is a bona fide pop goddess. I love her. I think she just put out a Halloween album. Who does that? I don't know. Anyway, Kim Petras, check her out. Thanks, guys.
Let's spin a little bit of Hillside Boys.
Just once or twice is too many times when you know the end. So hard to deny, so hard to forget. Oh, Hillside Boys, you call my name. You make my heart sparkle like champagne. Only you, my, you break my love machine. Yeah, Hillside Boys, you call.
Cool.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's like this song could be cheesy, but her earnestness makes it work.
Wow. Ding, ding, ding. I think you hit the nail on the head. This is like pop with a capital P.
Yes.
And a capital O.
Yes.
And another capital P.
This is mall pop.
This is mall pop.
Where's Tiffany?
Yeah. Just a genre that, like the mall itself, you might think is dying, but here's Kim Petras bringing it back.
Yes, and everyone loves a good mall.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It works because her voice just, there's no room for you not to be convinced.
Yeah. Hillside Boys, you call my name. You make my heart sparkle like champagne. Mm. You break my love machine. It only works when she sings it.
No. Yeah. So we're not expecting a Sam Sanders remix of of this song.
I will say I began to play her Halloween album last night. It's very Halloween-ish.
All right. There we go.
Yeah.
So we won't listen to it here, but if you're feeling in a spooky mood, go out and check it out. Let's wrap up before we turn the mic over to you, Sam, for your own recommendation on what to listen to. We've got one more selection here from Zach Mack, and he's been listening
to... Oh, Zach Mack. He's in podcast where I know Zach. Hi, Zach.
He's been listening to an artist called IDK, and he recommends the track Porno.
I shouldn't have laughed at that.
Hey, what's up, guys? Zach Mack here. I wanted to recommend IDK's new album, Is He Real? And I heard this album and I immediately was just like really interested. It kind of has like an ADHD style where there's these moments with really aggressive, abrasive hip hop lyrics and sounds and beats. And then moments oftentimes in the same song where it'll just like chill out and become really melodic and change. There's this song Porno with Pusha T. The song's only 3 minutes and 22 seconds. And just in that short time, it feels like you're listening to 4 or 5 different songs. It really kind of changes up pace and tempo and energy and even the beat. So like everything will change about this song in the middle of the song several times. And the album in general just takes you on a ride. It has really weird and interesting skits and throws a lot of curveballs at you. I had a lot of fun listening to it. Check it out.
Your strawberry lemonade lips make a wicked blood pressure go drip, drip, drip. Bass, what is the devil like? 666 bass, what is the devil like? 666 when I got you on my mind. Ain't no room for a thought when you laying on my chest. Ain't no room for my heart. Girl, you know we wasting time like tick, tick, tick. Girl, you sucking up my time like tick, tick, tick. The Bible say and killing is equal, but that don't add up, cause the amount of times that I milk my will probably be considered cereal. Them Cocoa Puff titty balls make a nigga balls fall inside of a jaws while a draws fall all like a nightstand in an earthquake caused by the back.
This is like the kids in the band hall after the band director has left rehearsal and they just keep jamming on their own making stuff up, but I like it.
Yeah, I similarly, I'm really, this really strikes me. This is like something I feel like I need to go back and listen to a few times. It's all over the place. It's funny. It also seems really honest at points and is really like tackling addiction.
I also love
this
it.
This is wild.
Yeah, and this has been a thing that I've noticed in hip-hop albums for the last several years. There'll be these songs that start one way and all of a sudden become a different song in the midst of the track.
Yeah.
I love that.
We hear that perhaps on a track like Sicko Mode by
Travis
Scott.
Yeah, it's like three different songs.
Yeah.
And I am just so into it. And I wonder if part of that speaks to the shortened attention span that our smartphones and the internet and social media and streaming has given us.
Perhaps,
but,
yeah.
But, like, they mix it up every minute or so.
Yeah, it's like watching a series of TikTok videos turned into a single pop song. Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm into it.
All right.
IDK, I'm going to check them out.
All right, thank you, Zach Mack. We have more listener suggestions that unfortunately we just don't have time to cover here, but they're all great. So we'll make a playlist and we'll share that in the show notes of this podcast. At this point, Sam, let's turn it over to you. I'm so curious to know what you have been listening to lately.
Yes. So I have been low-key obsessed with this artist named Jai Paul for years. He came onto the scene 5 or 6 years ago with this breakout single that was on all the year-end best of lists. It's called BTSTU.
BTSTU.
And the song was big. People loved it. And everyone was like, where's the Jai Paul album?
Yeah.
He got signed to XL Records.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so this was
XL Records, yeah.
They're responsible for some big indie acts. And the thinking was Jai Paul is going to be the next big thing. Uh-huh. He is this Indian British R&B funk dubstep artist whose music is wonderfully post-genre and just transcendent. But what happens is, after BTSTU is a big single, his album or mixtape is leaked online. And it's only available online for 2 or 3 days before it's pulled. And then Jai Paul says, my brother leaked it. He wasn't supposed to. You weren't supposed to hear that. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
And for years, the only way to find these songs is through weird roundabout SoundCloud Vimeo links. And there was this small cult following that would just seek out these Jai Paul songs that were never actually released. Flash forward to 2019.
Yeah.
He releases the whole thing.
Wow.
And he calls it Leak. 0413.
Oh my God, wait.
Yeah.
What a story full of family drama and twists and turns.
Yeah. And so we never figure out if he wanted it all to be this way or if his brother actually duped him. But I want to play one of the songs from the album that speaks to how he is just entirely post-genre in a good way. The song is called Straight Out of Mumbai.
Great. Oh, future fun.
And it's got a little banger in there too. So good. I wanna help you on the working. And so the whole thing about this whole mixtape, and it comes to even now, he never finished the final mix. So you hear the bass is really heavy.
Yeah.
Some of the levels are distorted. Some of the things come in and out. It sounds real choppy.
Totally. A little
and
unfinished. Yeah.
On purpose. It's so good, though.
I know. And it works because it's got this, like, say yes philosophy. It's like,
yeah.
Do you want a Bhangra sample at the top of this?
Yes.
Do you want like video game sounds interspersed? Yes. Do you want weird glitches that make you think the song is stopping, but then it goes again? Yes.
Do you want a saxophone?
Here we go. Yes.
Yeah. This is the first full track on the album. The next one that I love is a track called Genevieve from the same album. Also, all of these songs have unfinished in the title. So the official title of this song is Genevieve. Unfinished. Wow. Can we hit that one? This one's gonna blow your mind, Nate. It's gonna blow your mind.
I'm ready.
What is happening?
Ooh.
It's future funk.
That is wild. You know, I feel like I've been looking for an artist to fill the void left by Prince for some time.
This is it. There's, you hear this?
There's elements
it's
of
so
that in here.
Funky.
And it's fat. You know, for a long time in pop, I feel like there was this desire to make your music as meticulous and perfectly engineered and flawless as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this represents another approach that we're seeing
it. Yeah.
More.
Keep it rough.
Rough, unfinished.
Yes. It gives me Basement Jacks vibes. Mm. There was a lot of stuff on, like, the first two Basement Jacks albums that it sounded like they just threw everything in the blender.
Yeah.
And we're like, what is this going to sound like? I like that. And Jaipal's kind of doing that.
Yeah.
Like,
this is really cool.
There's synths, there's vocal, there's this. It's all just like this wonderful mashup. And you can just hear his talent. Like, he's a musician.
Yeah. Sam, thank you so much for putting Jaipal on our radar. I'm definitely going to be listening to this record more.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll be looking forward to whatever comes out next.
Oh, yeah.
This has been so much fun.
I love this.
I can't thank you enough for joining us today. Let's do it again sometime.
Done.
Thank you to everyone who wrote, called in with a recommendation. If you didn't make it on the show, we still so appreciate it, and we're going to throw up a playlist of all these songs in our show notes. Go check out Sam Sanders' fantastic NPR podcast, It's Been a Minute. You can hear it on your radio dial or anywhere you get podcasts. Switched on Pop is produced by me, Nate Sloan, and Charlie Harding. We're engineered by Brandon McFarland, and Megan Lubin is our production fellow.
We had special engineering help today from NPR West's own Josh Newell.
Thank you so much, Josh. The executive producers of Switched on Pop are Liz Nelson and Nishat Kurwa, and we're a member of the Vox Media Network. You can find more episodes anywhere you get podcasts. We'll be back in another week with a hot new episode. And until then, thanks for listening.
Should I apologize once more to John from Baltimore? I'm sorry, man.
Hey, it's Matt Iglesias, host of The Weeds. Democratic veterans and newcomers alike have been lining up to challenge President Trump in the 2020 election, and we are talking to all of them, from Ezra Klein's deep dive into Mayor Pete Buttigieg's theory of political change to Kara Swisher's probing and personal chat with outsider Marianne Williamson. Vox's discussions get to the heart of what matters to the candidates. To listen to our discussions with the 2020 candidates, including Pete Buttigieg, Elizabeth Warren, Andrew Yang, Julian Castro, and more, visit vox.com/2020podcasts. That's vox.com/2020podcasts.